Welcome back, Haunted 518 followers and fellow paranormal aficionado. This week I'm drinking from Stoneyard Brewing Company, Tropical Everyman, and it's an India Pale Ale with pineapple, orange, and passion fruit. I have been looking forward to this particular one I got from a local store and the delicious flavors that go into it. And on the back I was reading, it says, our good friend John Dutuilo told us, this is a beer anyone can drink, so why don't you call it Everyman? And who are we to disagree with our friends? We love this beer as much as we love our people. Enjoy refreshing tropical flavor in every sip. Cheers, Stoneyard Brewing Co. So here we go. Oh, that's delicious. I really like that. I've recently, just like this year, gotten into India Pale Ales IPA, so that is so good. And I definitely recommend it. So this week we're taking a little road trip because I found a little bit of something in each of these areas. I was looking into the Rensselaer Wine and Skill, East Greenbush, East Nassau, Averill Park area, Steventown, and I found enough that I thought it would be interesting to just do a little road trip right in that area. And I found one thing that's pretty infamous, so I thought that was really fun too to highlight it. So we're gonna start off in Wine and Skill because that's where Snyder's Lake is located. But quickly before we talk about and delve into Snyder's Lake, I wanted to talk about Evergreen Cemetery. It's in Wine and Skill, and rumor has it that the elusive ghost of a lady in a black dress has been seen there. She is said to hang out near the headstones on top of the hill, but don't take your eyes off her or she'll disappear. So if you've ever been to Evergreen Cemetery, I'd never heard of that. I've heard of all the famous cemeteries in Troy that are spooky and haunted and rumored to be like terribly dark places, but I haven't heard of Evergreen, so that's interesting. So next I want to move on to the biggest thing I think in this episode, which is Snyder's Lake, and that's also in Wine and Skill. So there are a number of run-of-the-mill campfire stories about the lake, like the one about the night watchman who was murdered nearby and whose ghost now steals children from the lake campgrounds. Others claim the ghost of a long-dead caretaker can be seen still checking in on the bathrooms. And I actually found on Facebook under Haunted Upstate, which I didn't know who they... I've never heard of them, and I'm so glad I found them. They do these awesome little clips and highlights from places that they have gone to or that they want to kind of delve into a little bit more. So I found this clip on Snyder's Lake from Haunted Upstate. Head over to Facebook, give them a follow, and the title says Snyder's Lake, but then under it says there's little known about the groundskeeper who supposedly haunts the shores of Snyder's Lake. What do we know for sure? So I invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to this short but sweet little synopsis from Haunted Upstate.
Along the shores of a calm, dark lake just south of Troy, New York, reports of the apparition of a now-deceased groundskeeper are numerous. There is little known about the spirit's history or when he started appearing, but rumors hold that he was brutally murdered as a young man on the job. What do we know for sure? Snyder's Lake, formerly known as Aries Lake, was first populated during the Revolutionary War, when a group of colonists led by one Harmon Snyder arrived upon its shores via the Hudson River. Snyder built his farm along the lake in the settlement of Greenbush. The lake was later renamed after Snyder and his family in the year 1897 and remains to be a popular tourist destination to this day.
There is no record on file that gives any indication as to when the mysterious groundskeeper worked along the lake. However, a quick bit of research on the internet suggests that his spirit started making appearances at least 20 years ago. Further, several recent missing persons cases reported from lakeside campgrounds have been attached to his legend. One account even holds that the groundskeeper can still be seen checking the bathrooms at night.
Whatever the truth of this tale may be, people have gone missing. But stories of the groundskeeper's ghost continue to turn up.
Yeah, Welcome back. So that was pretty interesting to hear someone give us a little bit more background on the lake and the area. And yep, if you've ever been there, if you've ever had a spooky experience there, please let me know. I don't think I've ever been there, and now it's going to be on my little to-do list to get over there. So lastly, in Wine and Skill, I just wanted to, I guess, lighten up the mood a little. I found an article on Local 10, the news channel. Local news channel, Channel 10, and it's entitled Wine and Skill House Turning Heads with Funny Skeleton Display. And in the in the pandemic in 2010, this woman, Patricia Volum Pazanellos, kind of did something different with her house. So I'm assuming she's probably still been doing it. So I just wanted to read this short little article in case you live over there or want to drive by there. It's definitely fun, something fun to do during the Halloween season, which is not terribly far away, so it's kind of exciting. So it's safe to say Halloween is Patricia Volum Pazanello's favorite holiday. The Wine and Skill resident has more than 25 skeletons and costumes on display in her front yard. The Halloween fan says she decorates her home every year, but this October she wanted to go bigger. I think everyone's had a rough year and it's been hard on everybody, so I wanted to take a different approach. I wanted something that makes everybody smile or laugh or shake their head like, what? But something that takes their mind off of everyday life. With the help of her brother, it took them a couple weeks to get the display set up, she says. Her favorite skeleton, the one based off her favorite singer, Michael Jackson. So ultimately, she says the reactions from drivers have made it all worth it. And her address is 282 Snyder's Corners Roads. And she encourages people to drive by, take a picture, or park in her driveway to get a closer look. So yeah. I thought that would be fun to share that upcoming Halloween season. Little fun thing in that area to check out. So next I want to move over to Averill Park. In Averill Park, I found were personal stories, but I found a bunch of them. So I'm excited to tell these. So the first one is submitted by Anonymous, and it's pretty lengthy. It says, I prefer not to say exactly where, but in the house I grew up in Averill Park, there was always strange things happening around the home. Little things like cans falling off shelves and disembodied voices in the middle of the night were a constant. Then there were the figures my sibling and I had deemed the shadow people. When the lights went out as we were kids and the night lights went on, there were always silhouettes of people that moved around the room. There were a lot of them, and they always walked around like normal people. Whenever I called for my parents, the shadows would vanish with the light they streamed in from the hallway. They wouldn't disappear in the way they should have if they were shadows, though. They would dive into shelves and under beds, scrambling into the closet. My parents always said it was just the weird shadows cast from the objects laying around the room. Since they were my parents, I believed them. Eventually, there were less and less shadows until one day there were just none, and I completely forgot about them. For many years, my fear of the dark had been forgotten all the same, until a few weeks ago when my older sibling, I'm using a neutral pronoun for the sake of privacy, and I were talking about childhood stories. We got to talking about dreams, and they said they remembered the recurring nightmare shadow figures that appeared in the room and just sort of walked around. I laughed nervously, trying not to give away the fact that I'd seen the same thing. I asked if my sibling was sure if they were actually dreaming, and they laughed for a second and then stopped and just sat there staring at me for a minute. Then they just said, I don't know if it was a dream. I told them about my all too similar experience, and ever since then we haven't talked about it. It's like we're too scared to talk about it, not knowing that it could have been real. It is like we're scared someone might hear, like the walls themselves have ears. So that is a spooky one, and when something like that happens where you find out someone else saw the same thing and can validate something that was seemingly paranormal, that is so crazy. And also that whole like walls have ears thing, I have a fear of that also, which is so stupid, only with the paranormal. I don't know what that is, especially when I talk about certain people that I've interacted with. It's so crazy. I'm getting chills kind of just thinking about it right now, so I can sympathize with that. The next one is also submitted by someone named, well, someone called Anonymous. On Burden Lake Road, Route 3, there is an old house that I grew up in during the 70s. We had a black shadow that would walk the house. You could always feel someone watching you. As you were sleeping, you would hear footsteps and heavy breathing by your bed. My whole family experienced various degrees of haunting. I'm so glad we got out of that house. I was always scared. It should be investigated. Something evil resides there. The house was built in the early 1800s and had a fire. The woods in the back would have lights floating around at night. So that's Burden Lake Road, Route 3, it says, but there's no address. And then the next one, and also anonymous, does anyone know anything about a ghost at Crystal Lake? My husband and I were on our way into town on old Route 66 one evening. It was such a beautiful day, so we had our windows down to feel the fresh air. Then I saw a figure that looked like a woman standing on the water. Yes, right on the surface of the lake. She had long, dark hair and was wearing a long blue dress. I thought maybe it was some kind of reflection from the trees or my eyes were playing tricks on me. I didn't say anything until we passed the lake area. Then my husband said, "Did you see the woman on the water?" Then I realized that I saw what I saw was real. We don't want people to think we're crazy, but that was what we did see, and now I really want to find out who that woman was on the water. That sounds like a horror movie. So that was the last one from Avril Park. And next I just found, two short ones from, Steventown. So moving over to Steventown. This one submitted by Anonymous. Recently visited the old Cranston Hill Manor site for a walk. I was with a friend and normally would have thought I was just hearing things, but my friend and I responded at the exact same time to what sounded to us as a very young child saying hi. It was very strange, but not at all menacing. The next one submitted by someone named Bon Bon. I live in Steventown, New York on Andrews Lane. My home was haunted. A little boy ran up and down the hallway calling mommy. The TV came on and off. I heard whispering, hearing people talking and banging all night long in the 13 years I lived there. I never slept a full night through. And I ended up selling my home back in 2007. And since then, I felt at peace. I never did go back to Andrews Lane again after selling it. I found out one thing: every home on Andrews Lane has had a fire, and every unsettling land. I don't know what that means, and every unsettling land. But that's short but sweet for Steventown, and then the same thing for East Greenbush, even shorter. I have one story submitted by Helene. We have had multiple entities in my house. I was the first to encounter them and didn't tell anyone. It wasn't until my daughter asked me that I knew it was real. Submitted by Helene. Again, two people coming saying they've had the same experiences. And then we're going to wrap up the episode with some personal stories from Rensselaer. First one submitted by Dawn. We lived at 45 Olcott Lane. My daughter has had objects fly across her room multiple times. My son said he was visited by an old woman, a nanny, in his room around the year 2000. The next one submitted by Anonymous. When you cross the bridge to downtown, you can sometimes see a dark shadow in the sidewalk bicycle lane part of the bridge, about halfway across the bridge. It looks like a dark cloud in the shape of and size of a person. I've seen it many times, but I'm always driving and there's no place to pull over and take a closer look. I'm wondering if there was maybe a suicide or some other death there to cause this haunting. These things don't just appear out of nowhere. There's always a reason for them. How do you go about checking the background for something like this? There must have been a tragedy there of some sort. That is it. I thought there was one more, but that is the last one for Rensselaer. So I hope you enjoyed this short but sweet little road trip around, and especially hearing about Snyder's Lake and the lore behind it there. So if you've had any stories from these areas, please let me know. I'd love to tell your story. I wanted to make sure I shouted out where I got my information from, hauntedplaces.org. Again, head over to Facebook and follow the group Haunted Upstate and watch their video on Snyder's Lake. I will try to post that on our Facebook page, try to share that. News10.com, and again, it was, the address is 282 Snyder's Corners Road, in Wineskill, for the fun skeleton Halloween setup, and then ghostsofamerica.com. So yeah, so on that note, delicious tropical everyman, and from Stoneyard Brewing Co. And yeah, as always, a big cheers and happy haunting.